With me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32. Our text is going to be in Isaiah 39, but we're going to start here in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We're going to look at a question this morning. We've been going through this series where we look at questions where God asks a sinner a question. And God doesn't ask a question for information. He asks it, number one, to reveal sin to the sinner, or to reveal His glory to the sinner, or both. That's what we've seen in all of these questions where God asked a question of a sinner. Now today he's going to ask Hezekiah a question. But before we get to that, I want you to see a little background. Hezekiah was a believer. He was born of God. He was a child of God. He was faithful. He was a good king. He was king of Judah in Jerusalem. And he was a good king. And last time we saw Hezekiah, a few weeks ago, we're looking at a question, and we saw Hezekiah on his face praying to God for the king of Syria, for him to save Judah out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And God did that, and he did much more. And we see that here in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 22. It says, "Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah." You see that? The Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. And the Lord guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord. They brought these gifts unto the Lord. But Hezekiah was the king in Judah, in Jerusalem, so they brought them to Hezekiah. But they were gifts to the Lord. And it says, they came to Jerusalem and they brought presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that Hezekiah was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. Every nation knew of King Hezekiah. He was honored, magnified. The Lord did that. Down at verse 27, "And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor." Exceeding much riches and honor. "He made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance." And here's why he had all of this stuff he had. For God had given him substance very much. Everything Hezekiah had, God gave it. Everything. Well, then Hezekiah got sick. And he got sick to the point of death. And he hit his face again and he began calling upon the Lord. And the Lord healed him. And the Lord sent word to him that he gave him 15 more years to live. 15 more years. He thought he was fixing to die right then. Lord healed him. He said, "You're going to live 15 more years." And to prove it, Lord did something he had never done before. The Lord made the sun go back 10 degrees. He never did that for anybody before or since. The Lord made the sun go back 10 degrees for Hezekiah to show him, prove to him, my word is true. You're going to live 15 more years. Well, now go over to, hold your place there in 2 Chronicles 32 and go to Isaiah 39, and then we'll pick up here where our text begins. Verse 1. "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and he was recovered." Now, back there in 2 Chronicles 32, we're told the reason the king of Babylon was so interested in Hezekiah. It says in 2 Chronicles 32:31, it says, "Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him, listen, to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land." They wanted to know about this sun going back 10 degrees. That's why they came. Babylonians were sun worshipers. They worshipped the sun. They were idolaters. And they were interested in this thing of the sun going back 10 degrees. They wanted to inquire about that. So they come to Hezekiah and it says, but it says God left them. He left them to try Hezekiah. This was a trial for Hezekiah, that he might know all that was in his heart. Not that God might know what was in his heart. God knew what was in his heart. So that Hezekiah might know what was in his own heart, God sent this trial to teach Hezekiah something. Now look at verse 2. And Hezekiah was glad of them. He was glad when these Babylonians came, these idolaters came to his house. And he showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah. Now, this is a question where it doesn't specifically say at the beginning. Most of the questions we've looked at has said, "Thus saith the Lord God." And it's obviously God asking a question. But I want to look at this question because it doesn't say that here. But we're going to see a little later that this is God asking Hezekiah this question. But I'll point this out to you because Hezekiah did what we often do. He didn't consider this was God asking him this question. He just saw Isaiah asking him this question. This was Isaiah's God's prophet, and all he saw was God's prophet speaking to him. He didn't consider this was God talking to him, and it was. It was God asking him this question. But now look here. So God said unto him, here's the first question, what said these men? What'd they come to inquire of? That's what he's asking. And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. They came all the way from Babylon just to see me. And he said, then said he, what have they seen in thine house? What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that's in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I've not showed them. They've seen everything in my house. I showed them everything. I showed them all my treasures, he said. Back there in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25, we read, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He didn't render glory to whom glory was due. He didn't render glory to God. God gave him everything he had. He didn't render glory to God, for his heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up in pride. And therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now look there in Isaiah 39:5. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. You see, it's been the Lord speaking to him the whole time. He asked the question. Now the wrath of the Lord is coming upon Hezekiah. He says, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. They're not going to have any children, Hezekiah. Your name's going to stop with these sons. They're not going to carry your name on. Back there in 2 Chronicles 32:26, it said, At this point, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He humbled himself, and both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now we read here in chapter 39, verse 8, it says, "Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah," this is after his heart's been humbled, "he said, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." The question I want to, of all these questions, and what I've titled this is, "What have they seen in thine house?" What have they seen in thine house? What have they seen in your house, in my house? Everything we have came from the hand of the Lord. Everything. Everything. Everything spiritual, everything temporal, everything came from the hand of the Lord. We have nothing that did not come from God. We have nothing in which to glory in. We're to glory in God for everything. If anybody comes to our house, this house right here, or our personal homes, or anywhere we have any dealings, this house we live in, this body, this tabernacle we live in, they come to their house, whatever the question, whatever it is they come to inquire about, we're to glory only in the Lord. Because we don't have anything to glory in, period. Nothing. We forget that in everyday things, don't we? Just like Hezekiah, he didn't even consider when Isaiah came there and asked him this question, he didn't even consider that was God asking him this. He just did just what we do. He went to saying, "Oh, I showed them everything I've got. Look at all the stuff I have. I showed them. I'm so proud of this place and what I've accomplished. I showed it all to them." And that was God that was trying him. And he failed that trial miserably because he didn't render glory to God in any of this. Well, first of all, just like Hezekiah, everything we have is from God. Everything. Child of God, you that believe God, we've been delivered from the curse and condemnation of the law, from the guilt of our sin before God. Everybody comes into this world guilty, and we came into this world guilty, deserving of hell. And just because of His free grace, not because of anything about us, but by His free grace, God sent His own Son into this world. And He was made a curse for us. He delivered us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We can't boast that we did anything to redeem ourselves or set ourselves free from the law. He redeemed us by being made a curse for us. Well, consider the bondage of our sin nature. Just like the Lord delivered Hezekiah and the children of Judah from all their enemies, the Lord delivered us from all our enemies. From the curse and condemnation of the law, He delivered us from our sin nature. We were going around boasting about our will and how strong our will is and how we can, nobody can cross our will. Our will was in bondage. We couldn't do anything but what our sinful nature dictated. And the Lord came and delivered us from our sin nature. Scripture says, "O wretched man that I am," Paul said, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to set me free from it?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who sets us free. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." We couldn't cry, "Abba, Father." We couldn't cry, "Father, Father," before. Why? Because all we had was our will in bondage to our nature. It says, "You receive the spirit of bondage whereby we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" I mean, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." That's how we cry, "Father, Father." He set us free. He bears with the Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Christ said, "If the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed." That's what it means when it says that He's made unto us redemption. He's our liberator. He's the one that delivered us. He's the one that redeemed us. He's the one that set us free. We can't glory in that. The Lord guided Hezekiah and Judah on every side, protected them on every side. The Lord guides us every day in every way. Scripture says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Don't you find that to be the case? You'll turn out of the way, and you'll hear that voice in your heart, and you'll hear God speak, saying, this is not the way. Turn. Go this way. I told Brother Greg Thursday, he was on his way here, and his car broke down. And the thought just occurred to me. You know, the Lord says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And I said, maybe the Lord might have saved you from a car crash a mile down the road. And that's how, you know, we ought to look at things. When if it's something that sets us back from doing what we wanted to do, well, maybe the Lord's saving me from something, showing me the way to go. The Lord healed Hezekiah, gave him 15 more years to live, and turned back the sun to give him a sign to prove it to him. We've got something more, much more miraculous than that. You think that's a miracle that God set the sun back 10 degrees? He made the sun. He did something much more miraculous for us. He came and gave us the sun of righteousness. And he arose with healing in his wings upon us, and he gave us eternal life. He set back time for us forever. He gave us eternal life. That's much more of a miracle than what he did just in that miracle he did for Hezekiah. Scripture says of Hezekiah, God had given him substance very much. He gave him substance very much. What about us? What about us? Paul said, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You ever had unsearchable riches? I can tell you, all my riches, I can search them out. I can come to the end of counting them. But not the riches from Christ. The riches Christ gives are unsearchable. You can't exhaust them. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's the point right here. 1 Corinthians 4. And I want everybody to see this, because some of you sitting here right now don't believe the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. If one day God reveals himself to you, you're going to find out God's been blessing you right now where you sit, even though you didn't know him and even though you didn't want to have anything to do with him. Look here. 1 Corinthians 4:7. This is what he says to every believer. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who makes you to be different from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Everything we have, God alone makes us to differ from other men. And everything we have, God gave it to us. Why would we ever glory in ourselves for anything? For anything. Our natural life's not of us. When God takes your breath, it's over. Everything's of God. What have they seen in thine house? We going to boast about anything in our hand? We have to render again to God the glory that's due to him. Listen to this from Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth. You know what glory means. I never take for granted anything when you're preaching. I preached a whole message one time on babes in Christ, and I thought I'd done a pretty good job of showing how believers are babes in Christ. And a young person walked to me and said, what's a babe? Don't take anything for granted. glory means to praise. It means to boast. It means to give all the honor to. God says, let the man that's going to boast, let the man that's going to pat somebody on the back, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I'm the Lord which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So if we're going to glory, we're going to glory in the Lord. Now secondly, God graciously gives us trials to remind us that we're sinners, so that he keeps us stayed on Christ for everything. He gives us trials. He sends us tests. He said, the scripture says here, he gave this test so that Hezekiah would know what was in his heart. And he gives us trials so that we know what's in our deceitful, old, vile sin nature, so that we don't ever get so strong and so confident that we think we can do without God. And he keeps us right where we need to be so that we constantly depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hezekiah was a child of God. So like you and me, he had an old nature that was from Adam, that was sinful, and he had a new nature that was sinless, that was from Christ. Now, believers got two different natures. There's an old man and a new man in the believer. The old man does nothing but sin, and the new man cannot sin because the incorruptible seed of Christ is in him. He's born of incorruptible seed. And these two make for a miserable, wretched condition if left to ourselves. Because if God leaves us to ourselves, we will perish in a heartbeat. Now, as soon as Hezekiah was healed from his sickness, if you look back there at Isaiah 38, verse 20, this is what he was saying in his new man. He was so thankful, he was humbled, and he was gracious, he was full of gratitude. In Isaiah 38, verse 20, he said, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we'll sing my songs to the string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. He was ready to praise God for the rest of his days. You ever been there? You see the Lord, you see what he's done for you, and I'm serving him, I'm going to praise him, I'm glorying in him all my days. And all it takes is some health and some wealth and some honor, or any one of those. And we get puffed up, our flesh, our sinful flesh gets puffed up, and we become proud, and we think we did it all, and act like we did everything, like we never even heard of God. And that's what Hezekiah did. The Lord said, what said these men? He said, what do these men come to you about? What's the hope? What's the point of these men coming to your house, Hezekiah? Did you notice Hezekiah didn't answer that question? He skipped that question. He answered the second question. He didn't answer that first question. Why not? Because it had something to do with the fact they came to inquire about that wonder that was done. They came to inquire about how that sun went back 10, 15 degrees. These men worshipped the S-U-N, not the S-O-N. They were base idolaters. And apparently, Hezekiah didn't tell them how that sun went back 15 degrees. He just said, I'd rather not talk about that. He didn't answer that question. And another reason he didn't answer it is because if he would have said they came to inquire about the sun because they're idolaters, the Lord said, why'd you even let them into your house in the first place? Why did it go any further? And so he just skipped that question. He went on to the next question. The Lord said, from whence came they unto thee? Listen to this pride. They come from a far country. They came to see me. Oh, they traveled a long ways just to see me, all the way from Babylon. You hear the pride in that? He's so lifted up in pride. He didn't say they came from that cursed, wretched land of Babylon, from that land of base idolaters. No, he was proud these men came to him. We ought never be proud of impressing this world for anything. And yet we get so proud that we can impress people. Some people live to impress this world. He said, what have they seen in thine house? Have you declared to them that everything came from God's hand? Hezekiah, have you told them God's our salvation? Have you declared how God freely saved us by His grace and how that everything they set their eyes upon came from the hand of the Lord? Have you told them that, Hezekiah? Brethren, when men see our stuff, our cars, our houses, the way we dress, our face, place, race, and grace are all things men get proud of. We get proud of. And when men see these things, we take on a proud look, just so proud because of stuff. Because of an inanimate object that somebody looks upon that you didn't possess yesterday, the day you possess it, and we just get so proud that men are looking at our stuff. And God says, I hate pride. First thing of all the things I hate a proud look. And we can't stop it, can we? That's our flesh. That's all our flesh is. That's all the old nature is in me and you is pride. And it just takes a little bit of wooing with wealth and pleasure and wealth and honor and health and a compliment or whatever. And whew, there we go, puffed up. Puffed up. I've showed them all that's in. This is why the Lord tried him. This is the Lord why the Lord tries us, that he might know all that was in his heart. Hezekiah was a faithful believer. He was a faithful man. He was washed of all his sins in Christ, his surety. It was his sins were washed away. Though Christ hadn't come and shed a drop of blood yet, his sins were washed away because Christ was his surety. And he was righteous in Christ and holy in Christ. And God only looked at him in Christ, righteous and holy. But the Lord left Hezekiah to himself just enough to show Hezekiah what he was in his flesh. Just enough so he could see what he was in his flesh. And he did exactly what you and I'll do if God leaves us to ourselves just a little while. He became puffed up. Pride is our worst enemy. It's our worst enemy. That's all our flesh is. When Scripture says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? He's talking about the sinful flesh that's still in you and still in me. It's desperately wicked. And we don't even recognize it when it's happened. Until God comes in the trial and sets us down and says, you lift it up. That's what it takes. Just like the first hour it took God coming and humbling you and abasing you and revealing Christ in you, he has to do it all over again 1,000 times, bringing us down and showing us you're nothing but a sinner in your flesh. That's all you are. So then lastly, here's what I want you to see. That's why he gives us these trials. He keeps us humbled to look to Christ, not trust ourselves. And so when he gives this trial, the Lord humbles us by chastening us. He chastens us with his hand and keeps us submitting to Christ. In Chronicles it says, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. You notice, why does it say there was wrath upon Hezekiah and Judah and Jerusalem? Because when Judah, the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem saw Hezekiah become lifted up in pride and they saw him proud of all these things and showing off all his house, they followed him. They became proud and lifted up. I don't ever want to lead those. We're all leading somebody. Everybody's leading somebody. I try to tell my children, I know you're looking up to somebody. Well, remember, there's somebody looking up to you. And as much as you're looking to that person that you're following, you look to those people that are following you and set an example for them. I don't want to lead somebody away from Christ, and sadly, I feel like far too often that's what I do. We want to lead those that follow us to Christ, not away from Christ. And Hezekiah led the whole Judah and Jerusalem away from him. They were all lifted up. So the Lord chastened them all. He chastened Hezekiah, Judah, Jerusalem, all the inhabitants. He had boasted at all that was in his house. He said, I showed him all that was in my house. The Lord said, all that's in your house is going to be carried away to Babylon. Hezekiah said, there's nothing in my house they hadn't seen. The Lord said, there's nothing that they're not going to carry away to Babylon. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. You think that was chastening to Hezekiah? What if you've been walking around bragging about what you got and showing people what you got, and that afternoon the Lord came to you and said, all right, I'm taking it all away from you. That bring you down a notch or two. And that brought him down. That humbled him. That brought him down. He said he's even going to take his sons to be eunuchs. Christ has borne our curse, brethren. He's paid the debt we owe to the justice of God. He's not going to judge his people. And he's not going to cast out one for whom Christ died. But our faithful Father will chasten us and correct us and keep us looking to him only. He will do that. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, that I might follow the Lord. And God's chastening always accomplishes his will in his child. Look at Isaiah 39, verse 8. Then has Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. What's happened here? When this chastening came upon him, Scripture said Hezekiah humbled himself because of the pride of his heart. That's what he's doing. He heard all of this. And he was like Eli. Eli said, your sons are going to die. Eli said, thus it's the Lord. Let him do what seems good. And he said here, I'm taking everything away from you, Hezekiah. He said, the word of the Lord's good. He bowed. He submitted to the Lord. He came down and humbled himself in the dust before the Lord. This is where the Lord's going to keep his people. Trusting him. Looking to him. Partaking of his holiness. And so they all came down. And that's where he's going to bring his people. Now, when Hezekiah says, because there'll be peace in my day, he's not being selfish here. He's not saying this word's good because I'm going to have peace. My children and the rest of them are going to have it rough, but I'm going to have peace. He wasn't being selfish. He was recognizing and acknowledging, I'm a sinner that deserves everything that's coming. And yet God's been gracious and merciful to me in spite of me. That's what he was saying, in spite of me. See, God doesn't ever take away his gifts from his people. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't take away his gifts or his grace from his people. But he will chasten his people. You see, he took that stuff from Hezekiah, but he didn't take anything from Hezekiah. That's just stuff. He didn't take away the spiritual gifts, the true gifts, and that mattered. He didn't take that away. Because God doesn't take that away. He may take your stuff away to humble you and turn you back to the Lord, but he won't take his grace away. And that's what he did. So let me end with these few reminders. One, let's give God all the glory, all the time, before all. All the glory, all the time, before all. And number two, be thankful for the trial. If he left us to ourselves, we'd trust ourselves, but he gives you that trial and shows you what's in your heart so that you never grow confident in yourself. And let's be thankful for his faithful correction. Scripture says, Hebrews 12, the Lord chastens us in love to keep us partaking of his holiness. We have no holiness but his holiness. He keeps us partaking of his holiness. And you know what? After all this had taken place, did it change Hezekiah standing before God in Christ at all? Did any of this sin and rebellion change his standing before God at all? This is what the Lord said about him. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. God said, there's none like him. He's faithful. That's grace, isn't it? All right, brethren, let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you bless it now to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.